Praise God, that was good. Let's all stand. Let's get our Bibles in our hands or hold our hand up in our Bible, whatever we got. Praise the Lord. It's good to see each one of you here tonight. We're about to fill in these cracks here on Wednesday. We keep going. That's awesome. Praise God. Got your hand, your Bible, something up? Repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. And I can have what it says I can have. Tonight I will be taught the incorruptible, indestructible seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, 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 never. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Tell Sister Lori, Sister Lori, you won't ever be the same. Because you're a nerd. Y'all wouldn't say that part now. I would say, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 11. John 11. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I'm going to tell you something. I'm amazed at this book right here. And I'm serious. The more I read this book, the more I'm amazed by the things that I learn in it that I maybe didn't see before. I mean, it is a living, breathing book. It's God's Word. And the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And that word inspiration is from the Greek word glossia. It means God breathed. And so it's God breathed. And when you read this book, it's different reading any other book. It's like God is breathing on you. You remember what God does when He breathes on something, doesn't He? There's life. That's right. God breathed into Adam, into man, into his nostrils, the breath of life, the Bible says. So if you want life, if you feel like, my God, if you feel like there's a part of you or your life or some situation that's dead or hopeless, let me tell you something. Get this book out.
Amen.
If you don't read but one verse, one verse. Now listen, I'll tell you, I like the King James the best, but if you just can't get the King James, get something you can understand. Get New King James. That's really good. That's very easy. But this book is God breathed. God breathed. Hallelujah. It'll take something that's dead and make it alive. Glory to God. I want to read several verses from John chapter 11 tonight. I want to call my message tonight, title it, Don't Die With It. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't you dare die with it. That's right. Don't die with it. John 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, the one you love, or he whom thou lovest, is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. And his disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou there again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? And if any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. God bless the reading of his word. Take somebody's hand next to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this living, breathing book called the Holy Bible. We thank you, God, that it's not the words of men, but it is the Word of God. And Lord, we know that this Word can change us. It can transform us. Lord, it can renew us. It can restore us. It can bring dead things back to life. And I pray, Lord, tonight that as we talk about that subject this evening, that you would anoint me as your servant. Give me a ready turn of thought. Lord, let these vocal cords hold up. And just give me strength in my voice to be able to preach this word. And I pray most of all that the anointing be all over it tonight. That it be all over each one of us. That, Lord, it be like Brother Kate says, you could preach anywhere in that church because the Holy Spirit was all over the place. I pray it be that way tonight, Lord. That, God, you would just be so in this place that we could just preach from one corner to the other and that your anointing would be here. And I pray, God, this word will go with us for a long, long time. That, Lord, it'll feed us for a long time, strengthen us, and it'll help us and encourage us. That this word tonight will be like a compass that'll guide our footsteps for a long ways down the road. So, Lord, to you now be all the glory. Help me, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I believe some of you might have heard about this, but this happened probably 3 or 4 years ago. There was a climber out west in the Rockies. And this mountain climber, he had gotten to a place of flat ground as he was trying to make his descent from climbing. And as he got to this flat place, evidently a rock or something that he had touched had dislodged, and it was a large boulder, and it rolled down and it fell on this climber. It actually fell across his arm. And it was so big and so heavy that he was pinned to the ground by this boulder. And he tried with all his might to push it away and push it, and that didn't work. He couldn't pull his arm out from under it because the weight had him just pinned to the ground. And so he thought, what am I going to do? He hollered and hollered for help. Of course, there was no one around. He was in a very much a remote area of the Rockies. And so as that day turned into night and he was cold and he lay there and he could hear the coyotes or wolves or whatever was around, he just kind of held on for the morning light. Morning light came and still couldn't pull his arm out, still couldn't move the rock, hollered, still nobody answered, nobody came. He thought, what am I going to do? And so he remembered that he had in his pocket a pocket knife. And he got his old pocket knife out, and he opened it up, and he went to chipping away with that one free arm on that rock. And he chipped and chipped and chipped at it, and he did that all day and all into the night till he was just plumb give out. And he hadn't hardly even made a dent in that big boulder. I mean, this thing was as big as your wheelchair, Ernie. And he knew that if he didn't get away from there soon because of the cold nights, exposure, not having any water, the wild animals, and probably had some bleeding somewhere on the inside, he knew, Brad, he was probably going to die. And so he realized the only thing he could do was take that knife and cut his arm off. And so he took that pocket knife. Can you imagine taking a pocket knife? Just an ordinary pocket knife. It wasn't one of these Bear Grylls specials, you know. I mean, it's just a pocket knife. It wasn't a Rambo knife that you just make whoop, one big chop or something. No, he sawed his arm off with a pocket knife. I can't imagine what that was like. But after several hours or however long it took, he finally cut through, and somehow, I guess the bone was broken or he broke it somehow, but he got through. Maybe he cut at his elbow. I don't really remember. But I just remember that he got loose. He got free from what was holding him. And he staggered off down the trail, and about 2 miles away, he found help. There was a house, and there were people home, but they couldn't hear him the whole time, you know. He lived. He survived. They couldn't reattach his arm. Blood had been cut off from it too long. But you know, that really got me thinking about how a lot of us in life, we suffer a setback. Anybody here ever had a setback? Come on. Everybody? Have y'all all had setbacks? A few? I want to tell you something. The older you get, you're going to suffer more, okay? It's not like a one-time deal. I wish it was, but it kind of comes around, you know? I think about like Michael and Janet. They get one child well, and then the other one gets sick. Then they get sick. I mean, it's just, and some of you have been like that. It's just, this year we've seen sickness just like it's, you know, just recycling through the house, you know. Maybe you've had a setback in some other way, but we've all had setbacks. But you know what? When we have a setback, we've all got a choice. We can die with that setback and let it kill our joy, let it kill our enthusiasm for life and serving God, or we can decide, hey, I might have to make some cuts. I might have to cut a few things away. I might have to cut a few people off. I might have to make some drastic changes that are uncomfortable to me and take me out of my comfort zone. It might be painful, but I'm determined I'm not going to die with it. I can't tell you the number of people through the years, that, and it saddens my heart as a pastor. I see people through the years, they go through something and they never seem to overcome it. They die with it. I knew of somebody here, and I won't call the name or anything, but a person that I knew lost a child. And that's a terrible thing. I can't imagine, and I don't pretend to. But this person lost this child, and they died with that child. Even though they had other children and a spouse that needed them and should have been the sufficient motivation to go on, they just kind of died that day. And I can't say I wouldn't have done the same thing. I don't know. But I want to encourage you, and I want you to encourage each other and encourage me, that when we come to situations like that in life, where we come to a setback that's heavy, that's immovable, that is hard, that we encourage one another, don't die with it. Don't you die with it. You read in this story where Jesus is off preaching. He's doing his work, his earthly ministry. He only has about 3.5 years to get everything done. Can you imagine if you only had 3.5 years? But he got it all done because he said it is finished, right? Amen. So he's off doing his ministry, and somebody brings him word that the closest people to him on earth, Mary and Martha and Lazarus, have got trouble at their house. The sickness has come to their house. The old bug, the virus, or cold, or pneumonia, or flu, or whatever it was. And Lazarus, it was two sisters and a brother. They all lived together. They were like I had that same situation in my family. Aunt Penny, Aunt Sally, and Uncle Zach. Hopefully Lazarus wasn't like Uncle Zach. He drank real bad. But Lazarus was very sick. And he gets word about Lazarus. And you would think that somebody that was that close to him, that he loved, it talked about how he loved, the one whom thou lovest is sick, they said. You'd think he would have run, or he would have just snapped his fingers, and because he was God and just was there immediately, or just snapped his fingers and said, healing, go to him right now. But no, he stayed where he was for 2 days. And then we read where he went on to another place before he finally gets there 4 days. 4 days later. 4 days after he was dead. He's been in the grave for 4 days by the time Jesus gets there. And you know, we love the song, and it's almost cliche, but it's such a wonderful truth. When he's 4 days late, he's right on time, isn't he? You know, so many times in life we think God is late. I tell people God is never late. He's rarely early, but he's never late. Now, we all like for him to be early. Get there soon, just as soon as we start to have a problem. But he's got a perfect timing. And Jesus had a perfect timing in plan and what he was doing. And a lot of times in life we come to that setback and we think, Lord, when is this going to change? When is this going to change? Sometimes it could be one of two ways. Sometimes God is waiting on us to do something. He's waiting on us to make them painful cuts, those painful choices. But then sometimes we totally can do nothing. And we just have to wait. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'd rather have to make the painful choice of doing some cutting than have to wait, because I hate to wait. I hate to wait. I can't stand to wait. If we go somewhere and I got to wait on Gina, it drives me nuts. Drives me crazy. Somebody said that's a short trip. Just one step. But there's something about waiting. I don't like to wait. And the Bible says, wait upon the Lord. And they that wait upon the Lord will mount up on wings as eagles. David said, I waited patiently upon him. But I can't say with David, I waited patiently. I'm like, Lord, come on. Let's do it. Yeah, where you at? I've been waiting here. I'm ready. I'm ready. Let's go. Let's get this thing done. And can you imagine Mary and Martha? They've already had the funeral. Lazarus is in the grave. And he's been there 4 days when Jesus gets there. I can imagine if they're like certain church members. He gets there. Well, thank God you finally showed up. Better late than never. It's about time. Can't you just imagine? I mean, that's what they tell the preacher, you know. When the saints go dragging in. And yet, he's got a plan. And he doesn't tell them everything about his plan. And that's something we need to understand. You don't have to tell everybody your plan that God's given you, okay? Everybody doesn't need to know your business, okay? There are certain things that God gives you and gives you an idea or a thought or he impresses upon your heart, and you're supposed to keep that. You know, Mary, the Bible says when she was told she was going to have the Messiah, said she kept all of those things in her heart. There's some things you're not supposed to tell because God wants to do it in a certain way, and he don't want everybody to see it until it happens. And so he gets there. As the song says, 4 days late, but he was right on time because it was all part of his plan. And when he gets there, he asks, where is he? And they said, he's in the grave. He's been dead 4 days. And I want you to notice, he says in verse 23, he says to her, he says, your brother shall rise again. And then I like what he said in verse 11. He said, our friend Lazarus is sleeping, and I go that I may wake him up. In verse 12, one disciple said, if he's just sleeping, he's doing well. But Jesus said, in verse 14, he said, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go on unto him. You see, the plan was this. I'm going to show you what God can do. In this lesson tonight, this message I'm sharing with you, don't die with it. How many times does Tom Akins, as I go through life, I see something and I just say, well, I just have to give up. It's no use. I can't do it. There's no way. And I'm just ready. I'll just die with it. That's just the way it's going to be. Just have to die with it. You know? But God, then he interrupts my pity party. And he says, no, you're not going to die with it. I've got a plan. And he gets there, like I said, 4 days late, but right on time. You see, it's all which way you're looking. From this side, it looks like he's late, but from that side where he can see everything, he knows he's right on time. Amen? And he tells her again there in verse 23, he says, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection. My God. Woo! I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Let me tell you something. That'll preach all over this church and up and down 319 and all the way to Savannah. I'm going to tell you something, folks. We need to start speaking life into the situations that are dead. We need to start saying, when somebody says it won't work, he can't live, they can't be healed, blah, blah, blah. Listen, how many times has Roseanne been told that Jazzy will never walk? But I'm going to tell you, I had a word from God that she will walk. And bless God, here a little while back, Connie's got a picture on her phone. She did stand up. And after she's had this surgery, the doctor said, she will walk. And I'm like, tell me something new. I know that. We got to learn how to speak faith, folks. I'm so tired of people walking around, they'll say, you know, I'm trying to catch a cold. Isn't that stupid to say that? Why are you going to try and catch? I don't want to try and catch no cold. You know? Or I'm just so broke, I can't pay attention, I'm poor, and my marriage is always going to be screwed up. My youngins are stupid or crazy. I got the sorriest, worst job. I drive the most raggedy car. Quit speaking that stuff. Hallelujah. You know, start saying, you know, bless God, it might sputter a little bit, but I'm driving a good vehicle. You know, I praise God, that little white truck I'm driving. I know I got that Ford, but I'm going to tell you, I like driving that little truck. It's got 332,000 miles on that joker. And I'm going to tell you, you get into this, you driving by faith. I mean, you are, because you just, Lord, I'm believing you're going to get me there, you know. Brother Harry says he rides by faith in that truck when he goes with me. He calls it the prayer closet, by the way. I said, why he call it the prayer closet? He said, because when you get in this truck and ride with you, you're going to do a lot of praying. That's what he said. But he says to Martha, she says, I know he's going to rise on the day of the resurrection. He says, oh, but I am the resurrection. You see, when you got Jesus in the middle of a situation, he's everything you need. I am is there. Not I will be, not I was, I am. You know, Jesus, you never saw anybody die in Jesus' presence. You've heard me say that through the years. You couldn't die in his presence. Why? Because he was life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then you come on down. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and life. And he says, verse 26, and whoever liveth, believeth in me, shall never die. Do you believe this? Amen. Let me tell you something. One day this body will die, but my spirit will not die. Some of y'all might remember the group that Johnny Cash and Waylon Jennings and what was the name of that group? The Highwaymen. And they had that song, about what was it called? Lord have mercy. Huh? No, not Poncho and Lefty. That's a good one too. But the one about, I won't die, I'll survive or something.
I will survive.
No, not that one. Ron, help me out now. Ron's my song master back there. What is the name of the song? That's the name of the song. Okay. Lord have mercy. I won't expect Richard to know it. Come on, Richard. The boy got it. But He talks about that song. They all talk about how they died. Waylon fell at the bottom of a dam. But he lived on, and I think Willie was a pirate or something that fit him, you know, and he died, but he lived on, and Johnny Cash was in the space shuttle, and he died, but he lived on, and I don't remember what happened to Chris Christopherson. Maybe he was on the ship. Yeah, Willie was the gunslinger. But the point is, one day the body will die, but our spirit's going to live on. And you know, we dread death, and I don't want to die no time soon. But you know what? At least I'm ready to die. If you don't know Jesus, you're not ready to die. Because your spirit will still live on, but in a place called hell. And that's where we go if we have not given our hearts to Christ and repented of our sins. And so he says, he's going to live on, and whoever believes in me will live on. And then he goes on, and he tells some of the disciples there, right after he weeps there, verse 35, Jesus wept. It's the only place in the Bible you find that he cried. But there he wept. And that's the shortest verse of Scripture in the Bible, by the way. He wept because he hated that his friend had died. But then he tells the preachers there, and I'm going somewhere, just stick with me. He tells the preachers, the disciples, he says, roll the stone away. And so they rolled the stone away from the cave where they had buried him, a sepulcher. And then he says, Lazarus, come forth. And I love what an old preacher used to say years ago. Brother T. Rowe Scott said if he hadn't have said Lazarus and just said come forth, every dead person in every grave would have come out. Because that's the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. So he qualified. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And here comes Lazarus. He comes up and he looks like a mummy because they would wrap you in these strips of cloth just like they did when you were a baby, except they wrapped your legs together instead of separately. And he comes out and he's like this right here. Can you imagine the scene? I bet there was some jokers, they was taking off about this time, you know. I used to have people ask me when I lived in the pastorum over here, said, aren't you scared of living next to that cemetery? I said, no, like you always hear, the dead ones can't hurt you, you know. That don't bother me. I said, no. But he comes out of there, out of the grave, at the very word of Jesus. Isn't it amazing how Jesus can bring dead things back to life? You see, Jesus, and I want you to write this down and remember this. I wrote this in my notes. What they were believing for, the people wanted to see a healing. But Jesus wasn't planning a healing. He was planning a resurrection. He wasn't planning a healing. He was planning something far bigger. He was planning a resurrection. And so he comes out of the grave. Then he tells the preachers, the disciples, he says, all right, boys, loose him and let him go. And you know, that's the job of preachers today. Our job, Keith, Kurt, and all of us to a certain extent. But the job of preachers when we preach the gospel isn't for me to save people. I want you to know I don't save people. I can't save the first person that's dead in trespasses and sins. I can't. Don't even want to try. But what I am to do is those that God is dealing with their heart and those that God is calling, I'm supposed to just take the grave clothes off of them. I'm supposed to loose them and let them go. And that's what they did. And do you know what? Lazarus was alive. He was alive, but you know, the thing is, his sisters, they could have died with Lazarus, not physically, but they could have died in their joy. Lazarus was the fun part of our, he was the joy of our home. He was the light of our home, the light of our lives. And now he's gone and we don't have anything to live for. I am amazed how often people that are mighty, men and women of God, decide to just die with something that's dead. Every one of us has a choice. And Jesus came that we might have life. Amen? Let me tell you something. So I know the way we think because I know how the devil attacks me. He'll tell me, you know what happened that last time? It's going to happen again. You better be careful, it'll happen again. Listen, we can't live that way, folks. You know, when I met Gina, if I thought, well, what happened to me before could happen again, I'd have stayed single. Of course, now I dated her for about 3 years, and some of y'all was telling her, you crazy to be waiting on him. He can't make his mind up. But I'll be honest with you, I had a fear of what if it happens to me again. And that's our human nature. But I eventually had to make a choice. I'm not going to die. I'm not going to die with something that's dead. You see, God did a great miracle. He took a setback and made it a comeback. Amen? And that's what He wants to do for all of us. I want to just minister a little bit. Play a little on the piano, Gina. God delights in blessing His children. I want you to understand that. You know, I'm going to tell you, there's some people so legalistic, they don't believe that God just enjoys doing supernatural, miraculous things to bless their children. Let me tell you something. I'd fight hell with a water pistol for my little girls. I would, wouldn't you? Yes, and win, that's right. And God loves us so much that He delights in blessing us. And you know, we have to be careful because what can happen is I can see how we get blessed and I can get the flesh thing. Well, golly, look at who's he think he is getting blessed like that. You ever seen that happen before? Jealousy? You know? We ought to be happy. I ought to say, praise God, Howie. That's awesome. I'm glad you went and bought that new boat. Right? We're going to get us a new boat, right? He's already got one. You know, I'm going to tell you, God loves to bless His people. But we have to make a decision. I'm not going to stay with the dead stuff. There may be some people we have to cut loose. There may be some stinking thinking. You know, Lazarus was stinking. They said, by now he stinketh. And I always laugh when I read that verse. They said, by now he stinketh. And some of us, sometimes we all get that stinking thinking, don't we? We get a negative attitude. We get discouraged. We get depressed. You know? Sometimes we can be ill acting like Gina. She can be real ill acting a lot of times. I'm teasing. And you know, we have to just decide, hey, I'm not, that's dead stuff. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be, have that frame of mind. Because when we decide we're going to change and let God change us, let me tell you, God will do it. And God will change our situations, won't He? Hallelujah. Let's all just stand. I'm going to ask preachers, come on down. Just sing some of this. Oh, Jesus.